When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello everybody and welcome to episode 65 of Ready Player 2. We didn't get enough E of the Threes in last time, so we're going to get some more E3s in this time because it was just butt tons of it. But before we do that, I'm going to say hi to everybody. We've got the same people to say hi to this week as we did last week because somehow we've managed to organise ourselves so that we're ending up with the exact same lineup. And I'm not really sure how this has happened. I think possibly the planets are in alignment or something. But we have me. I'm Rich. Sorry, I'm going to ramble. We have Lewis. Say hi, Lewis.
Hello, I am El Presidente.
We have Lee.
Hello, they haven't got rid of me yet.
What? What's happening? El, say hi.
Hi.
Okay. I'm not... Hi. How are we all doing? Are we feeling pretty good?
We are now.
Are we feeling a little bit better?
Much better.
Oh, this has been an overwhelmingly positive week for Britain, and I think we can all say that we're on a massive high note at the moment. Are we right?
Oh my God!
Yeah, we're all feeling very positive.
Yay!
I think Lewis is so happy about it that he's decided to become a dictator.
Yes.
Apparently. Right, I've played almost bugger all this week, so we're going to jump in with you guys very quickly saying what you've played, and then we're going to jump into the rest of the E3 stuff that we've got to talk about, even though by now, when you're listening to this podcast, it's probably happened about 6 months ago and nobody cares anymore. So, has anybody played anything amazing in the last week since we podcasted?
Yes.
Have you really? That sounds like a bit of a lot. Is it a lie?
I have actually played something interesting.
Oh, okay.
Actually, yeah, you go first.
You go first because nobody believes Lee has.
Yeah.
Okay. Lewis, what
have
you played?
I have played a shitload of Tropico 5.
So, and actually becoming a dictator. Are you good at being a dictator?
No.
Neither are most of them. So I think you're all right. You're in good company.
No. I either get voted out.
Right.
I didn't think that was the point.
As a dictator, I decide to give everyone democracy. And then they go, ha, chump.
Okay, wait, right. As dictatorships go, that's like the primary fail, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Or I pretty much bankrupt my coffers, as it were, and my economy crumbles, and then I don't have any money to do anything. Oh. So, yeah, as a dictator goes, I'm not great.
Well, technically that could be seen as an achievement.
Yeah, not when that's the whole point of the game.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Try and put it on your CV.
Yeah,
not unsuccessful dictator.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's Tropico 5's actually pretty good. It's just like a sandbox city building game. There's a campaign to it, but I've not played any of it. I've literally only played sandbox mode, so built up an island from the colonial eras through to the modern age, and then...
To be fair, if you manage to get that far, you're doing all right.
Yeah, so to progress into the modern era, you have to either develop nuclear weapons or a space program.
Okay. Is that the criteria for winning at dictatorships?
Well, I don't know, to be honest. But in other parts, like you have to battle coups and all sorts. Pirates? Yeah, rebellions.
Now, this is why you like it.
And it's just, yeah, it's really good. But I'm starting to get bored of it now because there's only so much that I can do
Like stuff like this, and I like city builders and stuff, but it's one of those games that I've never tried. I've never tried any of the Tropico games.
It's worth giving a try. Tropico 5 is, anyway.
I'll have to give it a go. Well, to be honest, after you spoke about this, I got a bit of an itch to play something similar. And we've been looking for a new game that we can all play together. And the other night we were all feeling a little bit melancholic and thought we need something a bit slower so we can just chat and play. So
not just melancholic, alcoholic as well.
Both. There was a lot of icks going on.
Yeah.
And so yeah, we decided that we were going to go ahead and play a game, and it didn't pan out so well, did it?
Yeah, the game was Civ 5, and the problem was spelling.
The problem was silly. The problem was stupidity. And I'm not saying that it wasn't my stupidity, but the problem was definitely stupidity.
No, I think it was your stupidity.
Because it wasn't just me and it wasn't just Rich. I posted on Twitter about this, and I said, has anyone noticed that their Civilization 5 has disappeared? And a couple of people replied back saying, oh yeah, I can't see it either. And then someone sent me a message saying, have a look under S.
Because that's how you spell civilization.
The worst part of this is we started looking. I was on forum posts, and there's forum posts all over Steam going, why has Civilization 5 disappeared from my game library? I've got all kinds of, I have got loads of DLC for it, and I have as well. I've got like all the gods and kings or whatever they call it. And
he was editing any files and all sorts.
Yeah, I was looking at
registry entries.
This is mental. Me and Lewis both went into our transaction history for all of our Steam purchases that we've ever made. This was a full 20 minutes of us searching for what's happened to this game. I was looking through bloody receipts. And it turns out it's under Sid Meier's Civilization. Public service announcement for Ready Player 2. If you can't find Civilization 5 on your Steam games library, it's under S.
Because of course it is.
Yeah.
And then we decided not to play it.
And then we decided
we'd spent so long.
Play it.
Is Sid Meier still alive? I might send him a really angry email.
Oh my god!
How dare you put your name? I fully expect to have this issue if I go to play The Division or something. But I paid for it! So that's something that one of us has played and something that three of us haven't played. Has anybody played anything else this week? Lee, you had something fictional that you wanted to talk about.
I wanted to talk about Far Cry Primal.
Oh, that's not fictional. That's amazing. Oh, actually, is it amazing?
Yeah, I like it.
It's okay. Like a history lesson for you, Lee.
No, but it's actually
nostalgia.
Yeah.
There we go. That's it. So, is it? It looks really cool. Is it actually as cool as it looks?
It's. I really like the Far Cry series. The whole open world adventure story driven RPG em up.
Yeah.
That's the mix of games that really appeals to me, and I usually jump on all of them. I didn't play Blood Dragon yet, but I will.
Well, it was bollocks.
Good, because
it was
rubbish.
No, it's not. I will be the judge of that.
Yeah, you will be, and you'll agree with us.
I'm going to try and play it before next week, actually. I didn't play that one, but I've played 2, 3, and 4 and various other bits and pieces. I always finish them, and I always really enjoy them, and I always find them very immersive and something that I can just relax into. It's nothing too stressful. You find your play style and then settle into it. This one is a little bit different, actually, because they've kind of, in some ways, they've pared it down so that the weapon selection is a bit more simple, because it's 12,000 years ago. There weren't any sniper rifles and
what?
Rocket launchers. No,
I'm out.
Really weren't.
I'm out. How can you can't spear jump? A stupid idea.
Well, you probably could. It's called pole vault.
Oh, okay. Touché.
But the rest of it is the aesthetics of the game is very Far Cry. It looks very Far Cry, but it's actually a bit browner than the usual green fare of Far Cry. The big selling point on it, or the big draw on it, is the beast mastery. That's the big shiny new thing in it that makes up for the fact that you haven't got a very complicated weaponry. Although you can still upgrade your weapons and things in the same way as you could before. It's still got all the upgrade paths that you're used to before. But now you can tame beasts to fight alongside you and help you.
Can you have multiple beasts at the same time?
Well, you can't have multiple fighting beasts at the same time. You can get your
presumably
owl.
they'd fight with each other.
Well, if they weren't tamed, they'd fight you, surely. So I would hope that you can teach them not to. I want a dodo army. If I can't have a dodo army, I'm out.
Is that why the dodos died?
Yeah, me ranging up and down, going, "Go on, you can take that mammoth."
Illegal.
Come on, guys, I believe
underground
in you.
Dodo fighting.
Yeah, wait. I don't know why they're calling that a saber tooth. It's not that scary. Go on, guys, you can have it. I don't know if that's what they sounded like. I'm just
that's exactly what they
sound
sounded
like. Penguins.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So you start off with an owl, which acts like your binoculars. Which,
how does that work? You cannot put your eyes in an
in Far Cry.
And expect to see further.
That's exactly how it
Do you
works.
Look
They've
up
got big eyes.
Yeah. like a hollow owl.
That's how they did pirates. It back in primeval days.
You just hollow it
over
out.
There?
Sorry. You just hollow it out and put its head on and look through its eyes.
This is becoming a very different game.
In Far Cry, you used your binoculars to mark targets. So your owl, when you whistle for your owl, and then you're flying it above the camp or whatever you're going to attack, and it will mark the targets for you.
Okay.
But it'll also, if you upgrade your owl, you can make it dive bomb and attack targets.
Wait, explain.
Not
you upgrade your owl with heat-seeking missiles.
Pretty much, yeah.
Just strap a couple of fucking rockets to the side. Flight of the owleries.
Oh my god. Dive bombing dodos.
But yeah, all the other beasts, they all come with their own abilities or that will aid you. So, for instance, the cave wolf automatically marks nearby enemies if you get close enough to them. So they'll just pop up with a red triangle above their head like they do in Far Cry games. The leopard that I've got can stealth really well, so you can set it to attack someone, and the guy that's standing right next to him won't even notice. That's how stealthy.
I'll be honest, if I was stood next to Rich and a leopard attacked him, I'd probably notice.
Not if it was a really stealthy leopard. I mean, this leopard is very stealthy.
What the fuck was that? Rich, where have you gone? What's happening? Fucking dodo! Ah!
later
What's
on,
that boy doing with that owl?
So later on, some of the beasts are rideable, and you can ride like bears and mammoths and stuff like that.
Dodo roller skates?
No. I want that now, though. The worst one I've come across, I've killed all sorts of things, but the worst damn beasts I've come across so far are the ones that annoyed me in 3 and 4, badgers.
There were no badgers in 3 or 4.
Honey badgers.
There weren't.
Yes, there were.
No way, were there?
Oh, it's certainly in 4. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure they were in 3 as well. I might be wrong.
I've been playing Far Cry 3 recently. I've not seen a fucking badger anywhere.
They're bad enough in 4, but in this, they fight in packs and they'll come after you in broad daylight.
Good grief.
And they're really aggressive.
I couldn't handle that. No, couldn't hack it. Can you actually have a pack of badgers, though?
You can have one. I'm pretty sure you can only have one fighting animal at a time.
That's rubbish.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's rubbish. I'm saying I'm going to take this pack animal and train it so it fights solo. Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, that's no good if a pack of honey badgers comes after you and you go, get them!
And he's just starts to be fair. I think they're switching sides again.
Yeah, exactly.
There's got a good story going through it. There's no big baddie protagonist in this. I think it's more you are fighting for the survival of your tribe. You start off with your tribe, you know, not existing. You have to go and find the stragglers to put them back together. There's resource management in this. You can upgrade your village by building better buildings and then upgrading them. You have to go off and find these characters to bring them back to your village to unlock other things like gathering and hunting and fighting, you know, to give you more skills to unlock more of your skill tree. But yeah, I'm enjoying it, but I am missing my sniper rifle and bow and my gyrocopter as well.
Basically everything that made the other games overpowered. Yeah. You're missing. I think, yeah, this is possibly what I'm pretty sure that if you upgrade your owl enough, you might be able to get to fire eggs at people or something
and carry me as well
at long distance.
There's some really nice touches in it though. There is something that does annoy me quite a lot. Ubisoft went to great pains to create a made-up language for this. They consulted linguists to make a language that they deemed something that would be authentic to 12,000 years ago. And so everything is in that dialogue. And so it's all subtitled. It does add something to it, I suppose, but it really gets annoying after a little while.
Can you not set it to English?
No, this is spoken dialogue. You know, the subtitles aren't in this language.
Yeah, I get that. Can you not say the dialogue to English?
No.
What did he say? Apparently he said, ugh. Owl, dodo, duck.
You talk about ugh. I was coming up to a village on an island in a lake to take it over, and I'm sneaking around the outsides of this village, and I can hear this ugh noise going on. I think, oh, they've got Neanderthals in this, though. It must be some sort of defense type character that they've got, you know.
Was it just two dodos having sex?
No, it was two cavemen having sex.
Actually, if they did more of that, they wouldn't be in the situation they're in now, would they?
it was a caveman and a cavewoman doing the dirty in a hut.
Oh, they were actually...
they were doing the actual dirty in the hut. So I sneak up to the back of this hut thinking, that doesn't sound right. And then, because I've got my cave wolf with me, he marked these targets. And then I could see their silhouette through the side of this hut. And it's quite authentic, actually. And I killed them quite
quickly. Authentic that you could see them through the side of the hut. Fucking caveman X-ray vision, Paul.
That's my hunting abilities. Don't you call my hunting abilities? They're amazing.
How many women have you bashed over the head and dragged back to your village?
Actually, as I took over this village,
I thought you were rescuing your village, not taking over another village.
You kill other villages as well that are in your way. In the same way as you did in the old Far Cry, you have to take over villages to open up parts of the map.
Right.
Yeah, so when I took over this one, I'd marked off all the enemies in this village and then systematically killed them. And then only halfway through, I realised that some of them were women running away.
Why are we laughing?
Oh
my god! Oh.
Didn't stop me. I didn't really find out what happens if you'd let them go. Or maybe I'll do that later.
Oh no, I don't want to hear. I don't want to know. So what happens, right? Killed all the men in this village, and then I'll stop you.
Yes.
That's the end of that entire conversation. So anyway, is it actually good? Because so far, from everything that you've said, you don't do much. You're just setting your fucking, you know, paratrooper house and stuff off.
It's got all of the story that you have to follow. You have the hallucinogenic trips that you go on with certain characters to unlock certain parts of the story, which is quite entertaining. Where you remember where you control certain things, like you'll go flying or you'll be a beast of some sort. In Far Cry 4, I think it was.
Yeah, you went on weird acid trips in Far Cry 3 as well.
Yeah, it's such a long time ago. I haven't played that one for a while. There is a lot of good game here. I'm still quite early in it. I'm only about 10% in. And there's not enough opened up yet to make me think to let me see the full extent of the game and the abilities that I'm going to have. I've still only just scratched the surface on my skill trees. But I'm really enjoying it so far. And I do really want to keep getting back to it every time I sit down. So, yeah.
Let's see. That's good. I'm going to have to... I will give it a go. I don't for a million milliseconds think that it's going to work on my PC.
I Googled it today.
Will it work on my PC?
Yes.
Get fucked. Will it?
Yep.
Well, I'm going to play the shit out of this. Oh, that means I'm going to have to steal your Ubisoft... I mean, buy it. Okay, so... that's what you played. Have you played anything else this week?
I have. But okay. I've been playing some co-op with Lewis.
Oh, what have you been playing?
When you've not been about, we've been playing Saints Row the Third, which is
right on the bleeding edge.
Yeah, 2011, man.
We played this a while ago. Lewis, is it any good?
Actually, it's a lot better than I was expecting.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't we played this for about 5 minutes about 3 years ago or something, didn't we?
Yeah, it gets a lot better.
Right, okay.
Once you start unlocking stuff and you start doing some of the activities and unlocking some of the weapons, which I think it helped us because we both got some sort of DLC pack that gives us massive and ridiculous weapons.
Oh, right. Nice. The Sharkinator.
The what?
Yeah.
The Sharkinator is excellent. You fire a load of chum at your enemy and a shark, like Jaws 3 shark, comes up through the pavement and eats them.
Okay.
But your gun looks like a blunderbuss.
Yeah. It's awesome.
That was ridiculous. Okay. I think I've got this. I'm almost 100% positive I've got this.
It was in the Humble Bundle that we got.
Oh, was it? Oh, mm-hmm. Brilliant. I've got so many games from Humble Bundles and absolutely no idea about any of them. Right. Okay. L, in one word or less, have you played any games this week?
No.
So, E3.
Yay!
Yeah. Yay!
Should we have the shortest of short breaks before we come into the E3 stuff?
That'd be good.
Let's do this shorty break thing. We'll be back very shortly where we will talk about stuff that you already saw a month and a half ago. See you in a bit.
You've been back to the future of the movies. Now go there on your NES. In Back to the Future 2 and 3, a double mission to save the future. LJN, Back to the Future 2 and 3. Get it while there's still time.
Right, we're back. We're going to talk about very serious E3 things. Has anybody got some very serious E3 things that weren't game-related that they would like to bring up before we launch into the games that were announced on the two remaining conferences that we have yet to speak about?
I think we covered it last time, all the hardware stuff.
I think we possibly
Wait,
did.
There's an important thing.
Okay.
If you're going to make, like, cool effects on the floor, you know, those cool light effects, don't invite Hideo Kojima because he will fucking ruin them.
Why? What's happened?
Did you not see him walking down the light bridge?
No.
Yeah, he fucked up.
What happened?
So the light bridge is coming down, and you know that cool effect with, like, a bridge makes itself up in front of you as you're walking along it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he just walked off into space.
Oh, no.
We're just like, just ignored you it. Had one job. One fucking job.
Fucking wow. Too cool.
When you fail at PATH. No. What the? I haven't seen this. This has got to be all over the internet now, surely.
He gives no shits. And that's why I like him.
He just, what, does he fall?
Well, no, because it's a light bridge. It's an effect bridge. It's not like they're just going to shove him onto this self-assimilating bridge.
Like, high up or something.
And then
maybe
drop
above
him
the crowd.
Into the abyss.
No.
Oh, that's very disappointing.
Do you imagine the fucking headache health and safety would give people? Put a harness on him! Put a harness on him!
You just killed Hideo Kojima. Oh, that would be amazing. Right, okay. So other than him just ignoring the fact that they've put a walkway there, nothing else to talk about. So let's go into, well, I'm sure there is fucking tons of stuff to talk about, but we're going to go into the, is this the Ubisoft conference? Is this the next thing we're going to talk about?
Yes.
You can tell how planned I am. So, okay, the first game in the lineup of games that, or big games that Ubisoft announced this year is Just Dance 2017. Now, I can't talk about this because I give almost zero shits. Does anybody give any shits?
Probably
yes,
less
lots
than that.
Of.
Okay, you explain the shits.
It's another Just Dance game.
Well, you're really selling it.
But what what we need to mention, or what we need to talk about, so if you didn't watch it, Aisha Tyler, who's better known as Lana Kane from Archer, hosted the Ubisoft presentation again this year.
Oh, that's who she is.
Oh, yeah, she's great. Yeah.
How big are her hands?
Relatively normal size.
Damn
but
it.
She's huge.
Yeah, she's a behemoth.
So the show opened with lots of people dancing to the Just Dance music and some other mixes. And
all dressed up in...
Oh. Yeah, so there were people dressed up as the sun and jesters and characters from the game.
It was a bit uncomfortable.
Giraffes. Yeah, well, it then goes on to be a bit uncomfortable because Aisha Tyler brings everyone in and they all get a bit serious for a moment and they start talking about the Orlando shootings and how they Ubisoft and everyone in the teams offer their sincere condolences. As she's saying this, there's a guy dressed as a giant giraffe kneeling down next to her, nodding solemnly. Now, I'm sorry, but I can't take anyone seriously when there's a giant fucking giraffe nodding.
Oh god, we shouldn't laugh. But he was nodding his head in agreement without realising that the great big giraffe that's on top of his head was nodding away. Like, oh my word.
And I just thought, like, I know the sentiment is there, but
these were not the costumes to be delivering this message.
No.
No, perhaps Giraffe Man should have been stood somewhere near the back.
Well, you'd still be able to see him.
Not in camera view.
Oh, my word.
But yeah, Just Dance 2017. They didn't actually show anything from what I could tell. It was just we've got Just Dance. Here's all these dancers and a nodding giraffe.
Buy our game.
Right then, Ghost Recon Wildlands.
They showed quite a lot of gameplay. They showed, I think it was an entire level where you chop and change between different characters, or they showed the viewpoint from different characters. From what they showed gameplay-wise, it looks like it's going to be more of a Division-esque type game, but set in a different, so it's going to be a tactical shooter but in a different kind of location. It's not quite as stealthy or like there aren't the different routes that you can play it,
right? Okay.
Kind of direct routes that you can play it, like they kind of alluded to at E3 last year. So it looks excellent and I'm seriously looking forward to it, but Yeah, it just looks like another Division, to be honest.
It looks a bit more... Now, I haven't seen a huge amount about this, I must admit, but it's... So you've got... what's the new Rainbow Six game called?
Siege.
Rainbow Six Siege. Okay, so Rainbow Six Siege is all coordinated, and like you all kind of have to go in the right direction and attack the house in the right direction.
It's also multiplayer only.
Yeah. Oh, okay, fine. So you've got that. Then you've got The Division, which I would almost say is halfway between that and this, where it's got more open worldy stuff, but it's much more. There's a lot of coordination that needs to go into it and stuff. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then you've got this, which just looks really... It almost looks a bit like a more serious Just Cause.
If you... I would recommend watching the gameplay footage, because you've got, like, a sniper who takes out people before someone kind of runs across another area to take out another guy. And you've got a pilot, so you can fly a helicopter around. And you've got other... Everyone can drive vehicles and stuff, so...
Oh, this looks cool. It looks does. Like... has anybody seen a movie called The Losers? It looks like The Losers,
yes,
the
game. Yes, you made me watch some of that. Yeah, that's good.
This looks like The Losers, the game. I'm right up for that. I will play the shit out of that. Anybody else interested in this?
Well, very much. Four-player, open-world co-op. Yes, please.
Oh, there we go. We're all on board. Elle, we just need you to get it.
Okay, I will, be a sniper and make sure none of you die.
It's legally binding.
That doesn't sound like it's the truth.
Da-da-da.
That sounds like you're going to do the opposite of that.
Hey,
I'll be a sniper and lie here.
Remember the last time we played a multiplayer game? Who shot who, Rich? Who shot who?
Look, all right.
You used me like a meat shield.
Never bloody forget, did you?
No, never forget.
Right, okay, look, this looks really cool. I keep saying, oh, this is another thing that's not going to play properly on my PC. Is this on PC?
Yeah. I think so.
Ooh. Xbox One, PS4, PC, yeah, absolutely right. 7th of March 2017. All right, okay, so the thing is, I keep saying stuff's not going to play on my PC, and then invariably it does. So I'm going to keep my fingers crossed with this, and I've got plenty of time to upgrade it anyway, so let's hope that by the time this comes out... Oh, actually, sorry. By the time the 2 months of really buggy release have gone past, we can all get it.
Yeah.
It should be all right by then.
That sounds fantastic. A couple of months. Possibly that's optimistic. Right then, somebody who's actually still interested in South Park, talk about South Park Fractured Whole.
Looks amazing.
Sorry, Fractured Butthole. Now, are you interested in South Park still, Lewis?
The TV series, no, but the game, yes.
Because the last one, The Stick of Truth, I didn't play The Stick of Truth.
The Stick of Truth was really good.
Yeah, I've heard from loads of people it was really, really good. And it's just kind of, it's just not, it's, because the TV show isn't my thing, it just kind of puts me off trying to play games at all.
If I can't even remember the last time I watched South Park, but The Stick of Truth, even if you take away all of the South Park elements from it, it's still a really solid RPG.
Yeah.
Really?
I will agree. Completely, 100%.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a really good... The mechanics work really well. I mean, you can't really talk much about the animation because it's South Park. The quests are really good. They tie in well with the South Park universe, as it were. And it works brilliantly. Yeah, it's well worth a play.
So the new game, Fractured But Whole, is this, does this continue on from? Is it a totally different style? Is it still an RPG?
I've seen nothing.
It's a spoof of Civil War.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
You supposedly start off the game as your previous character, called Douchebag, but you start to follow on, and then they go, oh shit, we've changed games. Right. Okay, we're playing as superheroes now. And then you start playing as superhero characters.
Okay.
So...
and then they have a split with a big civil war between the characters in the game.
Yeah, so they talk about the different phases of the films and team-up films and stuff like that. And that's what causes the fracture. It looks very, very funny.
See, I find this difficult. Are the gameplay elements similar, or are they totally, totally different? Is this a departure from the previous game?
Similar, but enhanced.
It's turn-based.
So it's still turn-based, but previously you couldn't move in a bunny ears 3D space, so now you can move backwards and forwards and left and right.
Right, okay.
In your area, as can the people that you're attacking. But from what I could tell, you've still got the same sort of abilities and weaponry and stuff like that. So,
all right, okay. Elle, you're still interested in this?
Heck yeah. Yeah. Look, I'm sorry, the first game brought out a Nazi fetus thing.
What?
Yeah.
A Nazi zombie fetus.
Yeah. So, I'm in for the ride. Like,
okay.
I was not expecting a crazy zombie fetus Nazi thing.
Do you know what? I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and play the first game. Was the first game out on the PC?
Yes.
I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and play it, because I'm sorry, while you guys have been talking, I've been watching the trailer for this thing, or the combat thing, or whatever it is. It looks dull as fuck. Sorry, it really does. Maybe that's just because I'm simply not interested in South Park, or it might just be because I can't really get from the trailer what the gameplay is like at all.
It does look like a massive fanboy game, because it does basically reference so much from the TV show. However, like, as Lewis has said, it stands up, like, of its own accord as a solid game.
This is going to have to be one of those times where I just bite the bullet and go, do you know what, other people are probably right. Give it a go.
It's currently $5.99 in the Steam sale, so...
What, the original? Okay, right, yeah. I'm in. On to the next game from the... this isn't a game, is it? On to the next thing, the next release from the Ubisoft announcement. This is the entire first... Is it the first year or first season of DLC for The Division?
It's the game came out in March, so this will be the first pack, the kind of second main DLC pack, but it adds more story to it, not just missions and stuff.
Right, okay. And you've played the first pack, haven't you?
So I played some of the original incursions, and which is the kind of the mission packs that they've added. Not mission packs, just kind of additional scenarios, I suppose, that they've added. But this will be the first kind of full story DLC that they're adding.
Is this the first pay-for DLC, or was the last one a pay-for as well?
I'm not sure, because I bought the season pass.
Right, so, okay.
I've no idea.
I get everything free. I don't care. I don't look.
I don't know if the first one was paid for, but this is definitely paid for.
Right, okay. This is from somebody who's only played the Division very, very briefly once and wasn't that impressed by it. Is it... I know that you've played it quite a lot. You've played it on two different consoles now as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
Does it look like it's good? Does it look like it's worthwhile content that's going to keep you wanting to play the game?
My only fear is that it's going to be quite linear.
Right, okay.
So it'll be interesting to see how they manage or how they implement it. But yeah, as I say, my concern is that it will be fairly linear.
Well, see, from what when we played it at EGX, the bit that I actually really enjoyed was the bit where we were on a straight road, in essence, and we were working our way towards a location. And we kept taking cover and moving forwards and calling out targets and choosing who we were going to hit. And we were going, right, you get the one on the left, you get the one in the middle, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that part. It was when it got to the last bit that I didn't really like. And I know that was only one of the modes, or you were in the, I don't know.
Dark Zone.
That's him, Dark Zone. But the bit leading up to the Dark Zone, that was a bit I really enjoyed. So the idea of it being in tunnels, even if it might be a little bit more on rails than previously, I still kind of like the idea, because that's the element of the game that I actually enjoyed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. I'd quite like to play it if they had a straight road or an internal battle area where you're playing against other people and you get kind of pushed backwards and forwards and you're both working towards a central point or something. That'd be pretty cool.
I don't know how they're going to incorporate it with the multiplayer, because the main area that you play in is not PvP, whereas the Dark Zone is all a PvP area, which is just ridiculous because it has hostile NPCs in it as well.
Oh, great. As if the rest of the world wasn't enough.
Yeah, so you're getting it from both sides, and it's supposed to be so you team up with other players, but I've never found that happens.
No.
Like,
people don't team up on the internet. That's not how the internet works.
No.
So, okay, let's go from a game that I don't know anything about to a game that I really don't know anything about. Eagle Flight.
I know about this one.
Can somebody explain? Is this the one where you look like a prat flapping your arms?
No. You look like a prat.
Is that... Hang on, are you talking just about me? Or...
if you like.
No, I think you might be talking about Palmer Luckey.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Definitely talking about Palmer Luckey.
He just does by default, doesn't he?
The on-stage demo of this was they invited on Palmer Luckey and a couple of his friends to take on three of the developers in a 3v3 dogfighting capture the flag. It's flying dogfighting, capture the flag, basically. This. So you are an eagle flying around Paris trying to capture objectives.
A rabbit.
A rabbit, yeah. And take it back to wherever the target is. So they had these six guys sitting in a row on the stage in Oculus Rifts. And they all unanimously looked like complete dicks. They underlined completely the fact that there is no good way of selling a virtual reality game by showing people playing it. There's just, you're not going to achieve anything, because the only thing that you look like, and I fully accept this, I'm a big virtual reality fan, but I know full
really,
well.
Really, Yuli?
But I know full well that every time I put that headset on, if people can see me, they're laughing at me. It's just a fact of life. Are you just,
they do that when you've got the headset off as well.
No, I'm not laughing at you, Lee. I'm just thinking of ways to make you piss your pants.
What I love is, were they all sat there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they developed the game with the freedom of flight, in which you have to sit there with a pad with a virtual reality headset.
No,
on.
I want
to
flap around, run around.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like,
I want to be flapping my arms. Give me a vibe, you motherfucker. I also love the fact that the guy that almost single-handedly designed or started the revolution in which gamers actually start moving their bodies has gained so much weight since he started doing the entire thing.
Hmm.
I'm not picking on fat people, because I myself, as a fat person, am also an avid gamer, but still, he doesn't look great. And also, he, being somebody who was so enthusiastic about VR at the beginning, when we started watching the Oculus Rift videos, and he was really getting like people revved up about it, he is one of the worst people to watch talk about this kind of stuff nowadays. You'd think they'd have hired somebody to do the marketing for them, really, wouldn't you?
Also, he looks like someone that I could quite happily smash his face in and laugh while I was doing it.
Wait, can we explain to Lewis why it's not okay to smash in people's faces while they're wearing VR headsets?
Actually, in this instance, I think it's okay.
Oh, shit.
Is he really that bad of a person?
One, because he's wearing a Rift, and two, oh, okay, because it's Palmer fucking Lucky.
No,
I don't even know why I don't like the guy. I that's the first time I've seen him talk and perform on stage. The only reason I dislike him is because I've seen pictures of him.
Wow. See, it's not judgmental at all.
I'm starting to sympathise with him now, because like him, I also have a face that people like to hit.
Palmer Lucky is a really good guy. He really is, but he's very misguided and he's made some mistakes. But his heart is in the right place, but his face is obviously not well made for Lewis.
Aww.
Also, your eagles can shoot stuff.
Oh yeah, fun, which is odd.
Dodos.
Dog fights.
They don't shoot dogs. Or dodos. Or dogs.
Eagle Flight is basically Ubisoft's way of making an easy and quick game for virtual reality so that they can get on board. It's using assets that they've already got laying around. So it's the Paris from
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Moving on. Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Want it.
Yes,
really?
Yeah.
Please.
Rubbing my thighs over this.
Really?
Yeah.
This
does is look this, amazing.
Am I wrong? But is this... Star Trek Bridge Crew has been around for a long time, hasn't it? And this is... Isn't this a game that was designed for multiple people to be stood or sat in the same room together playing?
Yes, there is... There's a thing that goes around to conventions and things like that. Play on a big screen with your friends, and you can, it's like a role playing type thing. I suppose it is that, but I don't think it's got anything to do with them.
Do you know, I'm pretty sure there's actually a game though. I'm pretty sure there's actually a video game that you can download. It might even be on iPads, which is designed for exactly this.
Yeah.
It's obviously not VR, but you get people together and playing it and all the rest of it. So this isn't that, but more. This isn't the same people that made that. This is brand new, is it?
Well, they haven't shown a huge amount of footage from this, but they've said that what you do in this is you and three friends take on four roles on the bridge of the starship Aegis that's exploring the galaxy. And you basically get to... one of you is the captain, one of you gets to drive the ship, one of you is on weapons, and the other one is in engineering. And the genius move, I thought this was really clever, on the stage show of E3, they got LeVar Burton, LeVar Burton, for those who don't know, is Geordi LaForge from Star Trek Next Generation. Jerry Ryan, who's 7 of 9 from Voyager, and Carl Urban.
Who's amazing.
He's brilliant. Scotty from the new Star Trek stuff.
It's not Scotty.
Bones. Bones from the...
So this is basically the branded version of Artemis, because Artemis is the one which is the unbranded, isn't it?
Is that the one? Right, okay, fine. I knew that there was something. Why has this got everybody so fired up?
I don't know, because if this was a 2D game, I'd probably, like Artemis, I'd probably think, I'm not really that interested in it. But this is going to put you in the Star Trek universe, and it's using motion controllers, so it's going to be on PlayStation VR, it's going to be on Oculus Rift when the Move controllers come. Not the Move controllers, the hand controllers. For
the Halo controllers, whatever they call
them. Yeah, Touch. Comes for the Oculus Rift, and it's going to be on the HTC Vive with its hand controllers. So you actually control everything using your hands in the, you know, you can activate.
You keep saying
panels.
This. You keep saying this about VR games. And last time somebody said, I can't believe nobody called Lee out on saying this.
Called out.
You literally play this game with your hands. That's what VR is all about, Lee. Oh, actually, sorry. That's what
no,
VR.
You don't. Eagle Flight, you play Rift. With your face.
Post Oculus Rift with its stupid pad thing. Yeah, that's what VR is all about. Lewis, you said you were well into this as well. What got you involved in it?
Just nostalgia.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I watched loads and loads of The Next Generation when I was a kid. So just seeing LeVar Burton and I watched a little bit of, what was Jerry Ryan in?
Voyager. Yeah.
I watched a little bit of Voyager. It wasn't that good. And DS9, actually. But yeah, just seeing those guys on the stage and hearing LeVar Burton talking about being a captain and him slipping straight back into that kind of Geordi LaForge role. So he's waiting for orders as opposed to being the one that's giving the orders. It got me really excited for it.
I really like the idea of it. It depends how cool the for me, it will depend how cool the visuals are when you're in combat. And that might sound like a silly thing, but I'm sure it will be amazing playing with other people as well.
Yeah.
But if it's just you sat there poking buttons on a virtual iPad, then I'm not.
I think you should get bonus points for moving, you know, everybody moving to the left when you're under attack, and then everybody moving to the right.
When the sparks fly out of the screen.
Yeah.
L, you were clearly hyperventilating about this while we were trying to talk about it earlier and you didn't realise you were on mute.
Yeah.
Are you into this?
You missed my beautiful rendition of Spaceman, always want to be known as Spaceman.
Oh, no!
Lee, that's there for you when you register
the
podcast.
No, it won't be, because you were on mute. I'm really disappointed now.
Yeah, on Skype, not on Audacity. Yeah,
that's all right.
Wow!
Oh, this is a secret thing that not even we heard.
Yep.
Yes.
But Lee gets to hear it and have his eardrums perforated. Space whales, that is all.
That is all? Okay,
space whales,
fine.
Yeah.
Space whales. Just, give me space whales. I want to fire nukes at the space whales.
I need
to... Wait, hang on. You don't like underwater animals?
She's
fish.
Okay with being in space where they can't get to her, and she's basically in a great big submarine.
I can fire nukes at space whales. They give
you
me
can
that...
probably fire nukes at sperm whales.
Basically. No,
he wants, hang on, you want to,
exist.
Nuke whales? This is
hang
not
on a minute.
Really
whoa,
politically
whoa, whoa.
Correct.
Yeah. Because in
I do.
You live
sure
in Wales.
In the Artemis game, there were space whales. There was a dot on the radar that could have been space whales. I'm not taking the chance. I nuke them.
Might be space whales. Nuke.
Oh no! It wasn't a space whale. It was a small planet.
Yeah.
And shit, son, my
I've
bad.
Just
sorry to disappoint you. I don't think you can. You can play as Klingon.
Oh my god!
Oh my
yes!
god!
I want one of those swords to just flail around. And
I'm not
shout
really sure that they let you have swords
people.
Either.
I'm going to nerd out now. It's a battle.
Bring your own sword.
Do you know what would make me in on this game?
Gra-kubar.
If you get boarded and people come onto the bridge and you have to stand up and shoot them with your pew-pew laser beams.
Holy phaser. Shit.
That's them. That's the pew-pews.
I'm in.
Yeah.
We'll tell you the words. Don't worry.
Thank you. That's okay.
Can I be
yeah,
Spock?
If you get to stand up and shoot your pew-pews, that would be amazing. Wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
They're missing a trick if they don't do that. And also,
I don't see
clearly
why they
you could go to different areas of the ship by beaming.
Lazy.
No, wait. Because of the whole VR thing, surely. You should be able to beam around the place.
I'm
and
just
going to
beam over there and pick up my coffee. And
yeah,
then
no,
beam back.
You beam and then you can beam over to the enemy ship when you drop their shields. And then you pew-pew laser them and then beam back again. Come
I'm
on.
Board.
I think it's just at the
that
bridge.
That's a good idea.
I want to play that game.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure by what we've said that we would have violated many directives of the Federation.
If you let me play this game, more than that'll get violated.
All right, Kirk.
If it's green and moving, I'm in. Right, okay.
Oh, God.
You really are the Ready Player 2 Kirk.
Yeah.
Can I be Spock?
Oh, actually, no, maybe I am.
Yeah, I'm going to go L with Spock.
Yeah!
Lewis, you're Worf. Sorry.
Yeah, that'll do me. No, I'm
good with you've that. Got the beard.
I'm on board with that. Wait, Lee's clearly Data.
Oh,
yeah.
Muppet.
Obviously.
You have a cat.
Because he's tasty and has no personality.
Oh my god!
Son of a bitch. I'm sorry, right, anyway. I'm showing no emotion here.
Hang on a minute. Am I the only one from the original series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rest of you are just like, yeah, fuck off, oldie. Right, okay.
Obviously, I'm going to be okay with Picard because he's old.
Although, you could be Riker, Rich.
No, I'm not cool enough to be Riker.
Do you get on chairs weird?
Nobody's cool enough to be Riker.
No, I don't think anybody is. Right, okay. Al could be Riker. If you could grow a beard.
Can you grow a beard?
I can pull my long hair to the front of my face and pretend that I have a beard.
That's exactly what he did.
Exactly. Just use Pritt stick and it will stay there.
Secrets of the next generation. Right then. Right, the next game we're going to talk about is a game that I think is going to be fucking amazing. And you know that out of all the games we've spoken about, this is definitely going to be the one that doesn't work on my PC. Because it's the one that I really want to play. So this is For Honor. Now, I can't even remember when it was, but I don't know if it might have been last year's E3. I saw For Honor, and I was, this looks like it is Dynasty Warriors mixed with Chivalry, and just, like, it just looked amazing. What's even better now is something that possibly people knew about before E3, but I didn't, is that they've actually got it's got an actual story mode in it.
Yeah.
Which I didn't think it was going to have. I thought it was just going to be a pure multiplayer game. But they put an actual story mode into this, and they've actually, I don't 100% understand how they've done this, but the story mode is something along the lines of, I don't know, is it an alternate reality or something, where Vikings and knights and...
No, it's a witch has kind of mixed all three realms together, and the three factions have been fighting for centuries over who's going to control the area. And that's pretty much the gist of it.
Do you know what? I don't care however flimsy the storyline for this game might be.
To be honest, it just looks like Deadliest Warrior.
Yeah, which is great. I'm in. I'm on board. It looks fantastic. Every time I see new gameplay footage of this game, every time I see the new things that they're doing with it, I get more excited. I think it looks incredible in the way that it plays.
Yeah.
I can't help but feel that the PvP is going to be brilliant, and I'm positive that people will just absolutely own me at every available opportunity, but I'm not sure I'll care because it looks great. It just looks, the combat looks so smooth, the way that the gameplay moves from killing hordes of the NPCs to getting into a proper fight with either another player or another kind of special character, and how you can kind of direct your troops to go one direction or another. It just looks brilliant.
I wasn't that hot on this, but is this one of those ones where you have to press a button at the right time to do certain actions in combat?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe. I've not seen any of that, if that's the case.
I don't think there are any quick time events. But
no.
You have to... See, this is the bit that kind of put me off. There's a weird kind of directional system for your combat, so I think you move one of the thumbsticks in one direction and you do a different kind of, like, you can parry or you can block and do different stuff depending on where the thumbstick is.
Yeah, so it's both thumbsticks, isn't it?
Possibly, I can't remember.
I think it might be like, depending on, so if you've got the, now I could be wrong here, but I think it's something like if you've got one thumbstick left, that's where your body's going, and then you have the other thumbstick maybe right, and that's where the swing of the weapon is. It just looks... It's reminiscent of the Elder Scrolls games, where you swing the mouse, and it swings the weapon in exactly the direction that you swung the mouse in. That kind of thing. But it should hopefully mean that when you're fighting another person, you can kind of have actual sword fights, where you both swing in a certain direction. And they've said that, look, we haven't geared the game to be so that you go clang, clang, clang. It's not a game where you're aiming for the other person's sword. You're aiming for the person. So it's very possible that you'll end up in a fight with another person and it will just be over because you'll misjudge where you're swinging or what you're parrying or whatever, and they'll just cut you right through. So you've got to get quite good at the mechanic and quite good at where you're swinging. And obviously different swings will cover a larger arc and be more powerful, but you'll expose yourself more and stuff like that. It just looks brilliant. It looks really, really good. And on top of that, the graphics and everything make it look absolutely incredible. So I'm in.
No, I'm out.
Oh, why are you out? You just...
Because everything you've just described is a load of gameplay mechanics that I would have to learn to match up with actions on the screen. And I hate that. I don't
really?
I just don't like that.
Oh, no, I think it's brilliant.
I need things to play naturally so I can just pick up and play.
You might be surprised by how naturally this plays. I don't think that they're shooting for something that...
Fine, but it doesn't sound... From what you're saying, that you have to pull one stick in one direction, another stick in another direction, and press buttons as well at the same time.
I'm probably not selling it particularly well, but I think what they've tried to do is, rather than make it so that you've got one button that's light attack and one button that's heavy attack and all the rest of
it... I'm all right with that.
They've tried to make it into... Lee, I'm not sure this is the game for you.
Probably not.
If they make a VR version of it where you can use your hands as an actual controller.
I was thinking that if they'd made a VR version and instead of having to do some crazy action on the joypad to do certain things, you could actually just do it, I'd be in. Good for me.
There you go. Lee, L, anybody else into this?
I thought I did.
I think so.
Am I the only one?
The thing is it just like... I wasn't that into Chivalry. And I wasn't that into Deadliest Warrior on whatever console it was that I played it on. So, I don't know. I'm not sure if I would be into it.
We could always ask on Ready Player 2 Twitter if there's somebody that wants to play with you, Rich.
I might have to.
Aww.
Nobody will.
We could
Nobody
do a will. Kickstarter to get you some friends.
Every now and again, somebody forgets how bad I am at Rocket League and decides they want to play with me, and then I don't hear from them for months. No, I think this looks amazing. I think this looks absolutely incredible, and I'm really, really into it. I'm looking forward to it. Right then, moving
on. I would just like to point out that Jason Vanderberg, the chap who did the presentation for Honor,
right,
looks and acts and presents much like he is a D&D dungeon master.
Yeah,
he does look like that. Oh my god.
Yeah.
And if you watch him on stage, he is exactly the same.
That's awesome. Really?
Overacting and everything.
He comes hobbling on with his cane, which I half expected him to pull a fucking sword out of. And starts. He basically starts off like he's setting up a D&D game.
Right.
He's either brilliant or the complete opposite of brilliant.
I was going to go with opposite.
I've got high hopes for this game.
I will have to look at this now, because I live for my role-playing games, whether it be virtually or tabletop. Gonna have to give this a chance, maybe.
Suddenly, the actual game and the description of the gameplay, nah, she's out. But as soon as there's a weird beardy guy on stage with a cane, she's in.
I am in! This is how you market to L. I will join you on this quest.
Oh my word. Okay, look, we're going to move on from that because nobody other than me seems to be that interested.
Well, it's got Vikings in this game, Rich, so maybe I will... Oh, samurais?
Yeah, it's Vikings, samurais and knights.
Oh, fuck yeah, now it's got samurais there, I'm in. man with beard and
Should've
stick,
lived with that.
Samurais fucking in.
I kind of hope that they include like other faction DLCs.
Yeah, they've got so much scope to add more to this.
Pirates.
I like the fact that they've kept it reasonably narrow to start with, so that they can add in your pirates and ninjas and all kinds of other stuff later on as well. Right. Next game is a game that we can all get on board with hating vehemently.
No, no, right, no, no.
Hang
no.
on. Can anybody remember the...
what Lewis said about this. No.
Because while we were watching this, me, Lewis and Lee were watching the Ubisoft presentation kind of live together.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what? I cannot remember what it was that Lewis said, but he basically described... What
oh,
this...
hang on.
While you look for this.
Right. I can completely remember what it is.
You
it's
can?
Engraved into my brain.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the hideous tracksuits soldered it onto my front.
Is that what
lobe.
It was? Okay, before you say what it was you said, this is Trials of the Blood Dragon, which is Trials Fusion mixed with Blood Dragon.
What could possibly go wrong?
Now, while
everything.
While everybody's just letting that soak in, Lewis, how is it you described this?
It wasn't even me. It was after the E3 event, the Ubisoft conference, they did a Q&A. Aisha Tyler asked the different people different questions, and one of the guys, the two fucking prize pricks that were presenting this game, said something along the lines of, yeah, Blood Dragon is like confetti. You sprinkle it over over something and it makes everything awesome. And I thought, no.
You don't sprinkle confetti on a fire, douche turds.
Blood Dragon is like confetti. The fact that you sprinkle it over everything and it makes it shit.
The problem is, it doesn't look terrible, but they did this kind of cool little presentation with
Wingus and Dingus coming out in their matching tiger stripe tracksuits.
Yeah, looking like they were a really bad tag team couple. And then they played this video of, dolls from circa 1980s.
Yeah, it's like a 1980s advert for toys.
Yeah, riding around on, luminescent motorcycles and had all Blood Dragon. Oh, it's just terrible. It just looks terrible.
I think they're aiming for terrible, though, so... Yeah.
The game doesn't look... If you like Trials Fusion and you want more ridiculous craziness... And
By all accounts, this is utter shit.
If you like Trials Fusion and you want more craziness, and this has got more... It's got, loads of different vehicles, motorbikes and all kinds of stuff, and, cars and everything. But then there's elements, by the looks of things, where you're running. So it's got, it's like a speedrunner type thing, where you're also shooting guns at people. And then in one thing, you're driving a tank over the tracks, and it does look crazy over the top. And if you're into Trials Fusion, you might very well be into this.
If this is a fiver, or in a couple of years' time, I'd be quite interested in this.
Couple of weeks.
I might give it a go, just to see if they can actually make anything good of Blood Dragon. When I was on the Big Red Barrel podcast a few weeks ago, they were saying, oh no, Blood Dragon's, you're wrong. Blood Dragon's amazing. I was just...
Blood Dragon gets quite good reviews.
It's shit. Maybe it's shit because we were excited about it. Yeah. Maybe that's what it was.
The thing about Blood Dragon, and I suspect it's probably the same for this, is the advertising and the marketing for Blood Dragon was just brilliant. The way that they did it in the 90s style with all the neon colours and this, that and the other, and it all worked really well. And that's kind of the first time that I've got super hyped for a game that... I'd actually seen no gameplay of, just based my inner capitalist, consumerist rather, completely bought into it. And when I played it, I think I played it for about 30 minutes to an hour, and it was just utter dog shit.
Yeah. I think I played it slightly longer than you because I desperately wanted to like it, but I was hoping that it would get to the point where you could start skinning animals and doing the upgrades and all the rest of it that comes with the Far Cry universe, and there's just none of that. They stripped all the good stuff out and just left
it. So easy to get you two to talk about Blood Dragon.
It really is.
Really is.
It's because we hate it.
We even named an episode about
you did.
Being excited for being Blood Dragon.
The episode was called Woo! Blood Dragon!
Yeah.
And then the episode after we were like, oh, we played Blood Dragon. Moving on to other games that were announced. So, Trials of the Blood Dragon. Here's another one. Well, this is a big one. Arguably, possibly the biggest one that they announced.
I'd go along with that.
Yeah, I'd go along with that.
Watch Dogs 2. And the biggest shock of this was it actually looked like it might have been in-game footage.
It was.
Yeah.
Well, they said that about the first one, so let's not hold our breath too deep. But the thing, we watched this, and I was there going, this doesn't look as good as the first game did when they premiered it at E3, 2014, 2013?
Because their first one was a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the first game just looked ridiculous. The graphics looked insanely good in the first game when they premiered it at E3. This one... The graphics are good, don't get me wrong, but it just doesn't look anywhere close to what
this one looks like. A video game.
It looks like it's actually realistic. I'm not sure how interested I am.
I'm quite interested in it. I thought you would be more interested in this after we've been playing Blacklist a lot, and it's got similar games mechanics to that in fighting and stealthing.
No, I'm going to vent about this in just a moment. Have you got anything you want to say about Watch Dogs 2 at all?
No, I'm pretty happy to sit back and watch the fireworks that are about to come.
Okay. Lewis, have you got anything that you'd like to say about Watch Dogs 2?
I kind of want one of those masks.
Yeah.
That was one of the best things that was in it. If people didn't see it, one of the main characters, or kind of the primary side character that you meet,
Wrench.
Or your guy meets in the game, he's called Wrench. He's got these kind of ski goggles on the entire time, which are LED screens, or kind of like, you know, old school LED screens. And his face, depending on what he's saying, the screens display basically an emoji of his eyes.
Fantastic. If they don't sell them, they're missing a big trick.
If they can't make up a way of giving people those that they can see through.
Definitely doable.
They made a Pip-Boy. They must... Well, yeah. Bethesda made a Pip-Boy. Yeah. They must be able to make these.
The thing is, with the Pip-Boy, it was just basically...
It was you put your phone in it,
you
though,
just
didn't
put your phone in it. Was, if you could just make a simple LED matrix over this that you could see through, and then have an app on your phone where you could just change the emojis...
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Wow,
I'd
have
it just
that.
Looks so cool.
I'd look like an idiot, so that. But I'd have that.
Right, Lee.
Yes?
I know you were kind of interested in this, so before I rant about Watch Dogs...
Yeah.
Go through what you liked about it and what you saw.
I don't want to know. You've stolen all my wheel.
No!
No, you've ruined it. You've already ruined it. I don't care anymore.
Oh, fine. I'll just talk then, shall I?
I like the way that you could basically do anything in this. You could control... anything around you. In a lot of open world...
As long as it was by line of sight.
Yes. Well, that's fine.
Stop
that's
it, Lewis. I'm saving that up.
That's fine. It's a gameplay mechanic. But in a lot of things like GTA and what we've been playing, Saints Row, you can influence a lot of things around you by just killing them or blowing them up, but you can't actually do things with them. This, you can remote control cars, you can...
You can do that in Saints Row.
Hack anything around you, really. to do what you like. I own Saints Row and I haven't played it yet. Still in the cellophane.
You can do that when you can hack stuff in Watch Dogs 1.
Okay, Rich, you go.
Okay, so...
Sorry to piss all over your parade, but...
So the issue that I've got is, right, this is GTA.
Yes.
With slightly more free running. And instead of walking up to doors to open them, you have to stand a few feet away from them and use your mobile phone.
Oh, yeah.
So there's one point in the demo in which the guy, he's literally stood on like a, I don't even know what you call it.
This offended you deeply,
like a crane.
I can tell.
Yeah, they do the same thing in the first game. He stood on basically a crane type thing, like a platform, that you like a cherry picker type thing on a roof. He's stood a foot away from the controls.
Hmm.
They're right in front of him. But instead of just walking up and pushing the controls, he pulls out his phone, hacks it, and then... Now, a couple of problems. Why is the fucking crane on the internet? That's the first issue that I've got, right?
Because it's the future, baby.
The second thing is, he hacks this and then starts moving it around.
Okay, now, I've been thinking about this because I remember when you did this, and I thought that maybe the crane is locked, and he had to hack it to get control.
Why is the crane on the internet?
Because it's the future, baby.
But this game is GTA meets Assassin's Creed, where instead of walking up to the door and pushing the button to open it, you just stand a little while away and push the button to open it. And there's a couple of other moments where he's legging it through this building because people have seen him because he's about as stealthy as a fucking brick. And he's running towards a door, and just before he hits it, he pulls out his phone, pushes a button, the door opens in front of him. You could have just barged through it.
The one thing that annoyed me on that other big dragon-y game was that he put headphones on when he went all stealthy.
Yeah.
And started listening to music.
So he's just about to sneak into this place where he's got to be really, really stealthy. And he puts headphones on and starts blaring out crazy music. And it's like, wow, that's really going to help you. Good job.
Yeah.
And then he does some sneaking around. And some of it looks pretty cool. You know, I'm like... And he's creeping around this place. But it's just like any other stealthy, creepy game. And then eventually he gets spotted. Now, that's the point where it got kind of cool and he starts running away. The coolest part of that, I thought, was a window gets smashed because people are shooting at him.
Mm.
And he kind of trips through it. So the character's still running, but trips through it because he doesn't, like, I don't know, he misjudges the step or something. And he keeps going. That, I thought, looked quite cool. If they've got dynamic kind of procedural character... stumbles and stuff like that. I always like that kind of stuff in games because it makes it look a little bit more realistic. But almost everything else, I just didn't get... Like, in Splinter Cell games, which again, Ubisoft, you go to distract somebody, you just pick something up and throw it to the other side of the room and it goes clong. No. In this, he has to just use his phone and make something beep on the other side of the room. It's like they've artificially gone, we have zero idea what you would feasibly hack. So we're just going to take other elements that we've got in our other games that work perfectly well to distract people and do other things and put in a hack version of it. You can hack cameras to look at where people are, but only by line of sight. So you can only hack a camera when you can see that camera with the camera that you've previously hacked. And then, because that's how the internet works, kids, line of sight. That you can't hack that laptop if you can't see it through the wall that's next to you, because that's not how Wi-Fi works.
I quite like the look of this, and while you're playing For Honor, I'll play this.
Well, they could have done so much with this. They could have given you like a Matrix-style virtual overlay, which let you see all the Wi-Fi beams and everything that were in the world, and then you could latch onto them and hack them. But instead of thinking outside of the box, they've basically gone GTA but with hacking and some elements of Assassin's Creed. And I'm sure you'll have to climb up stuff in order to use Eagle Vision and unlock parts on a map.
Yeah, I think in Watch Dogs 1 you had to climb up radio towers and hack them.
It's a fucking radio. You can hack a door. Why can't you hack a radio tower?
In fact, I'm not even sure why you would need to climb the radio tower if you can only hack
That's exactly what I'm saying. If this was a realistic game, it would be an obese motherfucker sat in his mother's basement hacking everything from there.
Ubisoft are very aware of the environment, and they like to recycle things.
Like all
very
of the
responsible.
From their previous games.
Yeah.
I'm really going to like driving around Jerusalem hacking things.
I'll be honest, the free running looked quite fluid.
Yes, it did. Yeah.
So when, like you said about running through the window, and when he does a little vault over I think it's like an air vent to escape, that all looked very fluid, but I would imagine that that's just a mechanic that they've stripped out of one of the latest Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah, more than likely.
So instead of vaulting over a tree, you're vaulting over an air vent.
Instead of a camel, it's a car. This is exactly what it... But there's other things, and the other thing that kind of put me off is, you're a hacker, and the guy looks really geeky, and kind of everybody in the game looks pretty geeky, like the hacker guys, they look pretty geeky, which is great, you know, kind of brings me on board with it a little bit. But then halfway through the demo, the guy turns into a motherfucking ninja. It's like suddenly Sam Fisher possesses him, and he just starts railing on people.
You can actually play the whole game without killing anyone.
Yeah, but I just... What did you like, hack their sunglasses so they can't see? The whole thing just feels so contrived, and it's like they've taken a game and gone, we want to put hacking in it, without actually thinking about a cool way that they could put hacking into it.
I don't think there is a cool way
well.
To put hacking in, because actually hacking things is not that cool.
No.
It's actually
but they
really
could, no.
work.
Like I say, the whole like a Matrix style overlay thing where the real world disappears and makes you vulnerable for a short period of time where you're looking at all of the...
Oh, you'd complain about that. Go and play
like,
For Honor.
Just... Shut up. Look, I played and wanted to enjoy the original Watch Dogs. The graphics thing didn't bother me because my PC... I played the original Watch Dogs for about 3 hours. I couldn't make myself like it. Try as I might, I could not make myself like that game for all of these reasons. There you go. Okay, look, I think I've ranted on that a little bit. It might be really good. I'm not in. Frankly, I'm just not in. And not because of the reasons that I wasn't into the original Watch Dogs, but because of those and more. And I just think it's not great. The one thing that I would say that was a kind of a highlight for me, the voice acting and the way that the characters behaved and interacted with each other and the motion capture looked excellent. Yeah. Looked very, very, very good. But other than that, I'm not interested. Right then, should we move on?
Let's move on.
Okay. Another game. Right, now this, does anybody else want to kind of... I've just ranted on quite enough, I think. Does somebody else want to rant about this instead of me?
Okay, let's
go.
Do
okay.
this.
Go. Have you seen this game before, Al? Did you watch this during the conference?
No, but it's
okay,
sports
brilliant.
Ball.
Fresh? No, it's not.
It's not.
It's
no,
basically
it's not.
Non-ball related sports
yeah,
ball.
Yeah, it's sports plank.
It's sports ball. It's skiing, wingsuiting, snowboarding, paragliding. It's sports ball. Do you like sports ball with non-ball related sports ball activities? Then you may like this sports ball game called Steep. Not featuring sports balls, but it is still a sports ball game.
You should have done the announcement.
You might not be the best person for this one, Al.
I'll be honest. Right. I think that was probably unduly harsh. I wasn't that keen on it when I first saw it, but I've seen some other footage of it recently, and actually it's starting to win me round. It looks like it's going to fill a gap in the market.
Yeah, well, this is what we said originally, wasn't it? This, while we were watching it, we did say, in terms of the extreme sports, there's not a huge amount around at the moment.
There's nothing around.
The last extreme sports game that came out was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5, and that got absolutely hammered because it was just piss.
And I was trying to say at the time that I have really liked snowboarding games in the past. So 1080 and SSX Tricky and stuff like that. But they were kind of more over-the-top games, and this looks much more like a snow simulator. Mountain the Simulator, I think it was we said it at the time.
Yeah.
The kind of the issue that I had with this was the way they hyped it up before they actually showed what it was. So they were saying, right, so to end the Ubisoft conference, we always like to end on the biggest thing, on the new IP, on the thing that's going to change everything. And here it is. And I was, I was watching these people going down this mountain, and I was just like, when does it start? when do they start shooting people? What's going on here? They're coming down, so presumably they've already unlocked that part of the map. It was, for what it is, it looks really cool, and it's got snowboarding and, like you say, wingsuiting and other mountain related activities.
It's life experiences I would like to have in real life, please.
I wouldn't. Good bloody grief! Did you see the wingsuit bit? That guy ain't
Let's
getting
go.
Up.
Yeah, that's not quite. I believe I can fly.
No, he doesn't.
Let's fucking do this.
A smear on the side of the mountain. I think it'd be kind of cool multiplayer, and there was a lot of cool features in it, like being able to open up the map and being able to reverse time up the mountain.
The multiplayer thing was quite a big part of it as well, wasn't it? Because they took great pains to say that you could play a lot of it multiplayer, or you could do a really cool jump that you nailed, then record it and then challenge your friends to do better.
Oh, see, that part I quite liked.
You can set up kind of challenges on the fly.
Yes, yeah, that part I quite liked.
They've added a whole social aspect to it.
Well, the parts of the game that I was more interested in were not the game itself. That's the bit that I found kind of weird, but...
This game will live and die on its control scheme and how it feels to actually do the different activities. And even if just some of them suck, the game will die.
And kind of the problem that I have with it is the snowboarding games and stuff that I've played previously, like or extreme sports games that I've played previously, like Tony Hawk's, like SSX Tricky, like 1080 Snowboarding, have been the ones that were over the top. Because this kind of looks like a simulator, I can't help but think that the actual fun
element there has to be a balance between the simulator side of it, something that feels realistic but's fun to play.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love it if you get to play 10 minutes of gameplay and then have to spend the next 3 hours trekking back up the mountain. That would be
not
brilliant.
Not that kind of simulator.
Not that kind of simulator. So if you get, like, you get to the bottom and it becomes DayZ.
you're going
to survive till you get back up to the top of the mountain. My only thing was, this didn't feel like the way to end their conference to me. If you're going to end on something huge, maybe Watch Dogs 2 was the way to end it. And they ended it as though this was the next big thing. And the crowd seemed pretty whipped up. You know, they seemed quite excited about it. But at that point, I think that maybe their bums were numb and they just wanted to get out of there.
I don't know. I'm still convinced it's kind of a sports ball game. You know, maybe I'll give it a chance. I might have fun, but eh.
My biggest thing with this is if this comes out and it's £40, that's killed it immediately, as far as I'm concerned. This does not look like a full AAA pay full price game. So we'll see. We'll see. We don't know. But they show quite a lot of gameplay. They show quite a lot of the features that were in the game. So it's not like we're going in completely unprepared. It's not something that they just showed a brief like screenshot of or something like that. We know quite a lot about what this game's going to look like, and it doesn't get me that much. But as we said, there is a huge gap in the extreme sports
it's
market at the moment that this is going to fill.
A good game in this market.
Yeah, yeah. So we're pretty shrewd of them until everybody else does exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, we are going to take a very quick break, and then we're going to be back with the shit that Sony did. Be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's go racing in Super Mario Kart Funny Car Madness! Only on Super NES! Turn the track into a giant mud pit! Or burn rubber on ice, wood, or asphalt! Wild. Mix it up with the big boys! See Bowser and his Bigfoot pumping truck! See Yoshi's go-kart really go! Mushrooms, banana peels, turtle shells! Dynamite! Check your rear view and make a mean test! Or go into battle mode and ruin his day! Two speed! Fast and way too fast! It's two-player fun on the split screen! Only for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System! Now you're playing with power! Super power!
Right, we're back. Sony did stuff at E3, and we watched it. Actually, I didn't watch it. I watched it in retrospect.
I did.
Lewis watched it.
I watched it.
Lee watched it.
I watched the bits I was interested in.
Okay. Everybody other than me watched the stuff that Sony did at E3.
We'll tell you all about it.
And here's some of the stuff that Sony did at E3. Lewis?
I'll be honest, the whole conference was a bit dull.
Okay.
The content that they put out was good, but the way that the content was delivered was a bit dull. So Man in a Suit comes on. Well, no, Man in a Suit doesn't come on. They show the first trailer, and then Man in a Suit comes on, and then they show a couple more trailers. But the whole thing, because it was based, I think it was in a theatre, the whole thing looked like you were sat in a cinema watching the trailers before the movie.
Okay.
Which I thought was a really weird way of presenting the whole show.
It was a bit odd, and the bits where they had actually live gameplay, they had, you know, like the royal box in a theatre. There's a guy sat in one of the boxes actually playing the game on the screen behind the presentation on this massive, which I thought was actually really cool. And I'd quite like to have a go at that.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to own an actual theatre. To be in, just to play games on. Did they talk about it before we get into the games? Did they talk about anything like themselves or anything game related or anything like that that they're coming up with at the moment?
No, not really.
First game. Is anybody other than me pretty excited about this?
Not really.
I've never been that bothered, and I'm not sure I'd be that bothered about Dad of War.
Oh, so. Dad of War's amazing.
I've a couple of grudges against God of War, so I think this one's gonna be yours, Rich.
See, I used to have a grudge against God of War, the God of War series, for, in my mind, creating QuickTime events.
Hmm.
And I hate QuickTime events. I think they cheapen gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And they turn otherwise great action games into Guitar Hero with swords. And I don't like it.
Massive bugbear of mine as well.
However,
yep.
I played, the very first God of War game that I played was Chains of Olympus on the PSP. And I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And then when I got a PS3, I went back and played through the God of War games that were exclusive to the PS3. I think they're brilliant. They're really, really, really great games with just good, kind of good everything. Good voice acting, great mechanics, and alright, you have to get past the quick time events, which are essentially just finishing moves, so you can almost forgive it. But they're just really, really good fun. One of the coolest things, although maybe not for people who are massive fans of the whole series, but the guy that voiced Kratos in all the original games, who is Terence C. Carson, has been replaced. So my immediate kind of thing was, well, that's a bit crap. They're just replacing the guy that does the voice acting. But then I found out that the new guy is Christopher Judge. And then I was like, indeed. So, if nobody...
No, sorry.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
Fair play.
Oh, wait, hang on.
Teal'c is awesome.
Christopher Judge is Teal'c from SG-1.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I mean.
Yeah.
Teal'c is awesome.
And he's brilliant. And after, when you think of Teal'c, Kratos' voice, he's just perfect for it.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm kind of on board with this. The trailer for this... No, I didn't think when they first started playing it, I didn't think it was a gameplay trailer. I just thought it was like a trailer, like a cinematic trailer type thing. And then as it goes through more, I'm thinking, this is gameplay. So Kratos starts off, and he's got first it shows a kid, it shows a young boy, who is just kind of doing stuff, and then somebody calls him into the house, and it's Kratos, and he says, "Get your," I can't do the voice, but "get your bow, we're going hunting," and off they go. And Kratos is basically just trying to teach this kid, who by the sounds of the looks of things is his son. I don't really understand how he had sex without killing the woman, but presumably that happened. And they go off into the forest, and he's trying to teach his son how to kill a deer, and the kid keeps getting really overenthusiastic and startles the deer, and the deer runs away, and the graphics are really pretty and all the rest of it. And then randomly, a load of undead shit turns up, and Kratos just starts fighting that. But it looks excellent, and they fought the undead stuff like it was perfectly normal. The kid didn't seem fazed by it in the slightest.
Smacked of slightly dodgy parenting to me.
He's Kratos. He's not even a good person. I don't know why. I don't think anybody thought that he was going to be a good father.
Although he did handle himself well when his son shot him with an arrow.
That was brilliant.
I would have kicked his ass.
Right at the end, he goes through a great big fight with this huge thing and basically beats the thing into submission, then holds the, whatever it is, the giant's head down and goes,
yeah,
shoot, to his son. And he's bearing this thing's eye, you know, and it's the size of a fucking Peugeot. And the kid's taking aim and shoots Kratos in the arm, which I thought was a really cool touch. And then a little bit of running away and stuff like that. But I thought it encapsulated the old God of War games really nicely with a lot of the set pieces that they had. And the graphics looked amazing. And I don't know how much, I think the game would get very, very tedious if all of it, or even much more than what they showed, had the kid there with you.
I'm pretty sure it is him and the kid.
Right.
I think he plays a supplementary character like Ellie in The Last of Us.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, in the demo, the kid never really gets in the way. It's not like you've got to protect the kid, because every time something turns up and starts fighting, the kid just buggers off, as you would hope somebody with half a brain would, and gets to high ground or stays completely out of the way. So hopefully he's not obtrusive to the gameplay. But, I thought it looked brilliant. I'm quite a fan of the God of War games. I thought it was really good. Nobody else bothered?
Not really.
Wow. Such a huge franchise and nobody's bothered by it. Okay, fine. Look, nobody other than me is interested in God of War. So hopefully we're going to move on to another game that people are interested in.
Oh, yes.
Yay.
Days Gone.
Yes.
Can somebody who... Lewis took one of the other ones. Okay, Lee.
Motorcycle riding, bounty hunting, zombie fighter.
What?
That's all you need to know, really.
Yeah, that's all you need to
know. Moving on.
Yeah.
There's a bit more to talk about than that.
Yes, there is. Don't spoil it.
I've seen some footage of this. I didn't even know there was a motorcycle, I must admit. I've seen some footage of this with the guy essentially backing off away from a zombie horde.
That actually is the bit that is worth talking about much more on this. Is the way... I've never seen this in a game before. The way that they show a wave of zombies... And I'm not talking about a wave like we got in Blacklist when you're doing the wave-based events.
Yeah, yeah.
This is literally like a wave coming down a beach.
Yes.
Almost like World War Z.
Yes, that's exactly what I likened it to.
Oh,
they were literally flowing over objects, climbing over each other to get to the guy.
I don't know how they've managed that, but that if that is part of the game, wow.
It looked excellent. It looked like... They didn't look like... Every now and again, you could see an odd bit of clipping where one of the zombies got ever so slightly confused. By where, you know, the AI got a bit confused as to where it was supposed to path to.
Very procedural and simplified, though, to actually cope with that many numbers.
They were literally... There's one bit where he goes under, like a crashed big rig type thing. Mm. And a load of the zombies swarm under it, a load of them climb over it, a load of them go around the rocks to the side of it. It looks brilliant.
Mm.
And he was popping off rounds at them, and it was very kind of...
Well, I was wondering how he could carry that much ammo and still run.
Well,
that's a lot of lead that you're carrying.
Thousands of zombies. We have to give it a little bit of. If he didn't have that much ammo, it would be a very short game, by the looks of it.
Well, that notwithstanding, but he was also carrying around explosives.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you do, you're being chased by that many zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've all forgiven.
If you're okay with that, but not okay with line of sight in the other one, then it's fine.
No,
I'm not going to bring that up.
TARDIS pockets. I'm all right with TARDIS pockets. I got used to that ages ago. It looks fantastic. It looked, like, visually, even though it was almost slightly on rails, or certainly the bit that I saw was you know, you didn't have a huge amount of free roam to do. You were in almost like a valley that you were moving through. It looked brilliant. But it was just that the guy looked... The main character kind of looked supremely unconcerned about this ridiculous quantity of zombies that were swarming towards him. He just kind of jogged forwards a little bit and then turn around, fire off a few rounds, and then jog backwards slightly. And I'm just like, it looks cool. It looks really cool. And hopefully something a little bit different for zombie games, because I'd get a little bit bored of zombie games.
What?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, shut your whore mouth.
No, I am getting a little bit bored of them. Just because it's not, I don't know. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So look, that looks very cool. The only thing that I would say about this game is it doesn't look like it's got a thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of games come out, they've got a thing.
It's
like,
they've got dynamic portals, weather.
Or they've got, yeah, well, see, dynamic weather might be the thing where the world keeps changing. And I think it is supposed to be slightly open world, so maybe the landscape changes slightly along with that. But, it doesn't look like they've tried to work a gimmick into the game. Like, Watch Dogs has got the hacking, Assassin's Creed has free running. Other games have got, like, a thing. Do you know what I mean? A little gimmicky mechanic that they put in to make the game something different, something unique. And it doesn't look like they've tried to force anything like that into this game. They've just tried to make a balls out zombie shooter.
Yeah. I think there's probably more to come on this. I have a feeling that there is. It looks like a big deal to me.
I love the fact that the main guy in it, I'm going to move on from it in just a second. The main guy in this is called Deacon, and he's a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
So let's just imagine a world in which it's a zombie apocalypse, and you have to fight through zombies, yet there are still bounties to be collected on.
Yeah, but we all know that in a zombie apocalypse, the zombies aren't usually the baddest things out there. It's other humans.
Yeah.
It's always other humans.
There you go. All right, cool. Anybody else got anything to say about Days Gone?
This kind of looks like it might be the next Last of Us.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think it's that story-driven? Because I didn't get that from the bit that I saw. I didn't see any of that kind of stuff.
To be honest, they didn't show a lot of story. They just showed more of the actual gameplay and some of the mechanics.
Give us more cinema cutscenes, you bastards. Not so much.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're keeping it under their skirt so that when you get the game, it's just like, ooh.
Stories,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, it could be good. The graphics look really, really nice in this. And I think that they were probably quite keen to show, as we said, the zombie swarming effect, which I thought was really impressive. It's the best I've seen in a game.
This is PlayStation exclusive as well.
Yeah. Next game on the list. Is anybody interested in this next game?
Right.
Oh, dear.
Okay, Elle's rubbing her hands. What is this game, Elle, and why are you excited about it?
Okay, I am both excited and not excited, and I will tell you why.
Those are two opposite things, Elle.
Yeah, I know. I've had very conflicted feelings about this game.
Okay, confliction is good.
Yeah. The Last Guardian, right? If you liked Ico and the Shadow of Colossus, and you, like me, have been waiting fucking years for this game, you will know the feeling of anticipation that I feel. You will know the amount of want that I have to play this game. However, like, this game has been through the fucking works in terms of, like, poor luck. Like, it's just been pushed back and pushed back, and a lot of the gameplay trailers haven't really been that exciting. And I've been trying to get so hyped for this game because I want to like it. The reason I liked Ico and the reason I like Shadow of Colossus is because they're interesting games in terms of challenging the conventional way that you play games and what you get out of them as well in terms of storyline and narrative. And I try not to be fussy about looks because, heck, I'm nostalgic. I go back and play, you know, really shittily presented games for our time. And I cannot help but feel slightly disappointed by the gameplay trailers that they've released.
Because it looks like it was made on a GameCube.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that I thought when I saw this. I was just like, did they start making this 12 years ago?
Maybe they did. It may as well have been, but
yeah.
I want so much
this
from
is
this
the
game.
Last Guardian, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
2009,
yeah.
The first trailer for this was.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And I just, I want to like this game. I expect so much from it, and I'm so scared that I'm going to be disappointed.
The graphics look bad.
Yeah.
And it's not even look like, they don't look cel-shaded cartoon bad. They just kind of
look
bad.
They look
which is a shame, frankly. And it's not doing a lot to help the game. Weirdly, because the Guardian is this big, I don't even know what it is, like a cat, griffin, dog,
thing.
Bird thing, when everything's zoomed out, so you see that, kind of looks all right. But when it zooms in, so you see the kind of, the kid that you're playing as, yeah, that doesn't look so good. It looks like he's, you know, like five polygons. Maybe they didn't have enough left after they'd made the big cat, bird, dog thing.
Well, I don't know. I think the instability of the development company, whatever, because they've been through, like, people leaving and all that kind of bad luck kind of shit. They've lost producers and team leaders and all that kind of jazz. And I think instability is bad for business. It's bad for businesses. Yeah. And it's bad for making a product. You know, how can you expect to be making a good product when you're in an unstable environment? And yeah. I really hope they fucking polish it off.
Yeah, this looks like a game that's been through a lot of trials and tribulations. As you say, there have been producers that have left the company. I'd imagine it's been shelved a few times. This 2009, we're talking 7, probably 8 years in development. And for it to be that long in development, something's gone seriously wrong. They've probably been through a few engine changes as well.
Because I'm not even sure they have. from the looks of it, it's the same one.
I can't imagine there wouldn't be at least one or two.
And the worst part is, it's even the stuff that they showed at 2015, as well, E3 2015, because this was around then. I still can't get a feel for what the gameplay is, actually. And I've got a feeling it's probably very, very varied, but it feels like a game that has no identity, because the marketing has got no identity. It doesn't know what it wants to be, and it doesn't really know how it wants to market itself to people either. And that says to me that the people who are making it don't really understand what they're doing.
Looks like a game aimed squarely at the Eastern market, the Far East market.
But this is the kind of thing that people over here, and certainly I would, Ico and all the rest of it, brilliant, brilliant games.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those games that, as Al said, looks like, or when it first surfaced, it looked like it could have been so great. And unfortunately, we've got to the point now where somebody should have either killed it or started again.
Oh, no. It can't always be bad. I mean, it could end up like Daikatana. Oh, no, that was bad.
Yeah, I just... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lewis, any opinion on this at all?
No.
I'm leaving that pause in.
Okay, fine. Look, we'll move on from The Last Guardian, and hopefully next year we'll have a little bit more footage to show for the game. Still won't be out for another couple of years. So, the next game on our list. Is anybody interested in the next game on our list?
Holy shit.
Oh, is this another L? I am actually really shit.
Can we say the name of the game first?
Okay, so the name of this game is Horizon Zero Dawn, and this is another one that I think we saw last year?
Snippets.
Yeah.
Yeah, saw snippets of this last year, and there's been a big bunch of gameplay trailer goodiness that's come out this year. I said this last year, I'm going to say it again. This looks like, the whole thing about this looks like Enslaved Odyssey to the West, which was an excellent, excellent game, but it's much more open world than that, and there's a lot more going on in it by the looks of things. Who gasped the loudest at the beginning of this? Was it L?
Yeah.
Okay, Elle, do you want to explain what this game is and why it looks so amazing?
Okay, my body is so ready to hunt down mechanical dinosaurs, okay? I feel like there are many of us who have, you know, lived our life preparing for this moment where we get to hunt down, again, mechanical dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, using their bodies to make more things that you can use to hunt more mechanical dinosaurs.
And you can hack them so you can ride them.
Can you hack them? Can you get on an elevator and hack them by using your phone?
Only by line of sight, though.
I was hoping they were going to break it then, but no, they're all right. They've stayed on board. Now, right, I don't know anything about the storyline for this. Is this set in our future, or is this like a totally different world, or what is it?
The future.
It is the future, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So this is a future where, for whatever reason, great big mechanical dinosaurs have taken over. And we have regressed back to, like, cavemen. Well, maybe not cavemen, but we've gone, like, back to...
A bit more primitive.
Yeah, very primitive times. And there's this woman that goes out and hunts them. Why does she hunt them, out of interest?
She's actually, from what I could tell from the gameplay trailer, she is trying to protect her village because some of the robot dinosaurs are corrupting and there are other robots, possibly not dinosaurs, that are corrupting these dinosaurs or other robot creatures.
Right, and making them attack peeps.
Yeah, and making them attack stuff.
Okay, right, no
so
worries.
So instead of being blue, they're red.
Okay, because that's how you tell
that's
when people
works,
have
yeah.
been corrupted.
Yeah. You can try that so down this... the pub on Saturday night, it works there.
Yeah,
as
you
well.
Can do red eyes. No, I'm not serving you anymore. firstly, it looked beautiful last year. It looks just as beautiful this year. It looks like they are. It's actual gameplay footage, so presumably it is actually going to look like this. It looks fantastic.
Hmm.
It looks absolutely brilliant. You can't get away from the little bit of Far Cry Primal look about it, although it is third person instead of first person. What's the deal with the whole kind of... she gets like a weird overlay thing, doesn't she? I don't even know what you'd call it. But she can see things...
Oh, yeah, highlighting points of the robot dinosaurs.
To attack, yeah, exactly. But she like a cyborg?
Her earpiece, isn't it?
So they have some technology as well, then.
It is an earpiece, yeah. She can highlight specific targets on a machine.
Yeah.
Disable precision right, okay. shots.
There you go. Bam,
there you
he
go.
Knows the stuff.
And there's loads of scavenging. Oh, she's just reading it. There's loads of scavenging and there's lots of... It looks like a great mix, it's the flow of the gameplay. And
it looks so fucking gorgeous.
You go from fighting something that's just seemingly way too massive for you to ever take on and shooting at very specific parts of it till they blow off, and then you blow off a bit of the gun that it's been shooting at you with, and then you pick that up and use that to shoot it a bit more, and another bit blows. It just looks brilliant.
Do you want Monster Hunter, but set in the future?
Yeah, and not bad.
I don't know. I still have the tune for cooking meat in my head when you sit down. Bim 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 bim.
Are we going to get the whole tune?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
It looks really nice. Do you know what? I think the graphics go a long way to make this game look really good, but also the gameplay footage, the actual gameplay, the fighting and all the rest of it looks really good. I'm not massively up on the character animations, I've got to admit, but that's a smallish thing and I'm sure it can be fixed. And I'm interested to see how the long grass thing works, because that's something that I love in games that have got great big lush green verdant kind of landscapes.
That's why
it's
I like
stealth
this.
Elements of them.
It's got that Far Cry feel to it for me.
Yeah, it does. It's definitely got that kind of Far Cry feel to it. Kind of excited about this? L?
Yeah.
Squee level 9?
I am pretty much just anticipating. Like, there is proverbial figurative drool dripping from my grey matter.
Is there literal drool?
Give it
is
to
that...
me.
Okay, so we're at DEFCON Squee. Lewis, you're interested in this as well?
Yeah, I am a little bit. I think I'll wait for a bit. I won't rush out a bite on the... on release, but I'm quite looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is PlayStation 4 exclusive.
Yeah.
As well, was The Last Guardian PS4 exclusive?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure they can bring out the GameCube and it'll still
work.
All right, that's Horizon Zero Dawn. Looks really, really good. Looked great last year, looks good this year. And that's coming out soon, is it? Is it early next year?
February 28th.
Next year. February 2017, that's coming out. Okay. Right then. Battlefront VR X-Wing Mission, which is possibly the worst title for a game I've ever come across.
It's only a section of Battlefront.
Yeah, a VR experience. I don't imagine it's going to be a full game.
No.
And it's going to be a lot of this with the PlayStation VR. When it first comes out, they've said 50 release titles up till Christmas after launch. And a lot of those are going to be... in the same way as it's been on the Oculus Rift and the same way as it's been on the Vive, they need to get titles out there and they need to get people to experience these things. So they're just putting out stuff that just is easy for them to put together, doesn't cost them too much, and is still a good experience. And it will be amazing. It will be amazing to be able to get into an X-Wing and go into combat.
Do you fly it?
Yes. You fly it with your DualShock.
It's not just your... Right, okay, fine. So it's not actually you just... sat there watching what's going on.
No.
Okay, so essentially what we're looking at is Elite Dangerous.
No, Elite Dangerous is so much more. Elite Dangerous is a full game.
Okay, sorry. What we're looking at is a really small portion of Elite Dangerous that's been out for absolutely ages. Okay, can I move on from this to another VR game? Because I really want to blast through these, because I'm frankly not that interested. Batman Arkham VR.
Didn't really show very much.
No. Nope. Don't know too much about it. VR.
No. Okay. Hashtag, and that was about it.
Great. Final Fantasy VR experience.
It's just going to be... You could play as Prompto, which is a character... which is specifically for the Final Fantasy, but it's so far removed from the Final Fantasy universe that they might as well just call it something else completely different.
And the VR bit is, they didn't really even show very much about what you can do or anything about it.
No, it's literally, you see a monster and you see him look up at two guns and that's about it.
Yep.
Excellent. So this was essentially, let's shoehorn as much VR stuff as we can possibly get into the conference without actually much content.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that.
Pretty much.
Excellent. Quickly then, Call of Duty: Infinite Warfare. Anybody interested?
Yes, I watched the trailer of this and didn't know what it was while I was watching.
Really?
It.
Yeah. Is that why you're interested?
Yes, because I was watching this and thinking, "Fucking hell, this is a great looking game. You get to fly around in spaceships, shooting things in space, and then you actually fly into this ship." And then you get out of it and you go, you've got this whole first person bit. This looks amazing. And then it went Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. I'm not sure what to think now.
I feel like I may have been lied to for a short period of time just then.
Or maybe I just wasn't paying attention.
Well, no, because I've seen this. I've seen the Infinite Warfare. I don't know whether they call it a trailer or what. I would assume it's gameplay
footage. It's gameplay,
it looks like gameplay. Yeah, it looks like gameplay footage. This looks about as far removed from a Call of Duty game as you could probably get.
Which is great.
Which is just like, so it's got another kind of Elite Dangerous star bit to it. Then you go out into space and you're flying around in freefall with like a tether, like a grappling tether thing, and you're grappling to shards of ship that's exploded, and then magnetic booting onto them. But then you're also grappling onto other people that are floating around and grappling them towards you and giving them a little bit of rip off your face mask, because that's a lovely way to die. It looks interesting. Doesn't look like a Call of Duty game. Which I guess is a good thing.
It could be a good thing. It could just be a good game on its own right. Just because it's got COD on the beginning of it, it doesn't mean it's a bad game.
No, but I've said before, I like the Call of Duty games. My problem with them is it's just getting a little bit monotonous and they're quite samey. And I know that they did Advanced Warfare, but that was just a bit not up my alley at all. And the Black Ops things, I don't get that at all. There's one particular bit in this that I actually really liked.
Are you going to say the gravity grenade, aren't you?
No,
well, I love that bit.
No, it's the bit where he does a grapple onto a dude and does like a kind of melee combat-y thing where he rips the guy's mask off and kicks him away.
Yeah.
As he kicks him away, he momentarily lets go of his gun and it starts floating away from him and he has to snatch out and grab it and pull it back to him. It was all part of the animation and everything, but I thought it was a really nice touch. It looked very cool. I'm kind of interested in this.
Yeah, I am very interested in this, actually.
Yeah, I am.
I didn't think that I would be. And I'm surprised at how many other people are.
I know there's been a lot of hoo-ha about the whole Call of Duty, everybody hating on them for what they've done with the franchise, but if it's a good game, I don't really care.
Do you know what I'm fed up with the Call of Duty franchise? Probably more than absolutely anything else.
Just people that play it?
No, I don't care about multiplayer. I genuinely... I will play the multiplayer, and I certainly love the co-op. But I'm not bothered. And what they seem to keep doing, specifically with the Black Ops side of things, is they just insist on showing multiplayer after multiplayer after multiplayer. And when you go to places like EGX, it's all they've got.
Mm.
You can't even try the single player experience. This was all single player all day long, and it looked absolutely fantastic. So yeah, I'm in. And if it's got a decent co-op that isn't just a waves mode, I'm also even more in.
When's it out?
And the only reason people will buy it is because you get Modern Warfare Remastered with it.
Do you know what? That might be true. But actually, that I thought that exact thing when I first heard that they were going to put Modern Warfare Remastered with it. But now I'm looking at it, I can't help but think, that's a bonus.
So if we get to play this at EGX this year...
It'll all be multiplayer. Yeah. you won't get to play any of the single player. It'll be entirely multiplayer. But at least for the first kind of release video, they released a single player release video, and it just looks spectacular. So yeah, I'm in.
November 4th, 2016. all platforms.
And with that, we also said that... The weird thing about that is all platforms includes PC.
Yes.
Which, this is the first time that they're releasing, I believe, the first time that they're releasing a Call of Duty game simultaneously on PC along with the other platforms. Because yes. Usually you've got to wait absolutely ages for the PC version to come out. So,
and then it only costs you a fiver.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, hopefully. I'm wondering whether this is going to be at all linked to the whole Microsoft cross-play thing, where you buy it on Xbox 360 and you can play it on PC.
Or the other one, Xbox One, maybe?
That's what I meant, Xbox One.
Living in the past. I am.
And as Lewis said, as part of this, when you buy this game, you also get Call of Duty, which is Modern Warfare. Mm-hmm. It was just called Call of Duty Modern Warfare, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The remastered version of that game. Which was a brilliant game. So that looks super cool, and that looks really good, and actually has interested me an awful lot more than I thought it was going to. Right, the next one is LEGO Star Wars The Force Awakens. A mediocre LEGO game of a mediocre movie.
Oh, shut your face.
I knew that was going to get a rise from Lee.
There is a demo on PlayStation Network at the moment. I think it might be out on Xbox as well, I'm not sure. It's a LEGO game.
No bad thing.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
Are these ever changing now? I must have.
I don't think they need to.
I've gone off the... Well,
they...
Same games, different skin.
Yeah.
I know that they've got... Because they've got voice acting now, and they have much, much better animation and cutscenes and all this kind of stuff. But essentially, it's the same game.
People are must still be buying them.
No, yeah, well, I'm the same, but I know people are really interested in them. Lewis, what were you going to say?
They do include other mechanics, so you can do blaster stuff. In this, you can crouch behind cover. I know that's not a massive thing, but it's something different.
Gears of War, isn't it?
Game.
Gears of Lego.
Mm.
Bricks of War.
I'd play that.
Oh, God.
But you get to fly. I know you've got. There's other mechanics in superhero games and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can fly the Millennium Falcon. You shoot down TIE fighters. It compared to the film, it's quite good. Unfortunately, it still has the same issue that Lego Jurassic Park had, or Jurassic World, where the audio still has that weird echo to it. So you can tell that it's been ripped straight from the film.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No.
So they've not got the voice actors in or even tried to get somebody that sounds like them. They've literally just ripped the speech audio from the movie.
Yeah, and if you play the Jurassic World Lego game, the first three sections, which are based on the first three films, are the audio rubbish because you can tell that it's been ripped straight from the film.
They've done this game after game after game as well.
I do remember you saying this, actually. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be a huge cost-saving exercise.
Oh, God, it's got to be massive. Unless they get in voice actors that can do impressions, but then everybody would pull them up on that. I think this is this is the best we're going to get from what they've got.
Okay, right. From that to what I'm fully expecting to be Squee Factor 5. This is... I'm going to let El explain all of what this is, but the game is called Death Stranding. El, do you want to explain what the game is and why you're going to go super squee about it?
Gather to me, children of darkness. The father has returned. If you, like me, have, played with horror games for a while, you will know who Hideo Kojima is, and you may have played the Silent Hill demo that he brought out a little while ago called PT, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, which has now become Resident Evil.
Amazing. And I got really excited for it because, again, I will always get excited for a Silent Hill game. I will play it. I don't even care. I am that engrossed in the Silent Hill games, because there are some pure gold moments in them. Doesn't matter, like, it can be a shit game, and then you'll have a golden moment where you're just like, do you know what, this was worth it. So I will always have time for anything Kojima brings out. And you will probably have felt the quakes that happened after my despair rage when Kojima fell out with
everybody.
Everyone, and they removed him from the entirety of Konami's website, which was very sad. But all he needed was to come out on stage and be like, I'm back. And that was it. That's all I needed. But he came out with this absolutely not... I don't even know how to explain it. It's so out there. Just, what is going on? Death Stranding. If you haven't seen it, is Norman Reedus, because I'm
naked.
Crap with names. Yeah.
Very naked with a baby.
Very naked with a baby.
No, that sounds weird when Lee says it. It's not like that.
He's actually attached by an umbilical cord as well.
It's so weird. And that's me saying it. There are floating people in the sky. What the fuck is going on?
Smell like, of this fish.
Oh, shit, man. If there's got fish in it, I'm just not going to be comfortable with that. it's so weird. This video revealed nothing that I could take away and be like, do you know what? I know what's going to go on with this game. Nope. Don't have any fucking clue.
It revealed the batshit crazy detailed geekiness of Hideo Kojima.
People have been taking this video to pieces. For instance, the dog tags that Norman Reedus is wearing around his neck, they've got formulas for quantum mechanics on.
Yep. The Schwarzschild radius and Dirac equation.
Yeah.
To name a couple.
Blows my motherfucking mind.
There's more stuff like that, and there's loads of things that are in the poster and then in the trailer that people keep disassembling.
Yeah.
That actually makes sense. Yeah, there's layers to this where it just looked like a trailer, or it just looks like a poster with some naked Norman Reedus, which, you know, I'm already on board. But when you put all of this stuff, it speaks to a level of detailed geekiness.
If they can put that into a game.
You can just tell it. Yeah, you can tell that you put this into the game, and there's going to be all of the stuff that we love about the Silent Hill games that's got this level of depth to it. And if you can manage to pack that level of depth and craziness into something as short and as seemingly unrevealing as that trailer, then that makes me kind of excited about the game.
I'm excited about it.
I would hazard, I don't even know if this is going to be a horror game. I don't even know.
It's got Baby That Disappears and then Baby Handprints. It's a horror
game. Yeah, I know, but okay, for some people it could be horror. Maybe it won't be as dark, but mainly because I'm really sad that Guillermo del Toro is not going to be involved in this, because he got really, like, shattered by PT not going forwards. So he's not going to get involved in any video games anymore.
He is a hero as well.
Oh, he's a fucking babe. I would marry that man. Hey, Guillermo del Toro.
Just putting it out there.
You're in. Get your coat.
But this is not connected to PT.
No. This is an entirely new thing, and also an entirely new thing that we know absolutely nothing about.
But I'm so fucking excited.
But it does look pretty cool. And in terms of style, it looks pretty cool.
It does, yeah.
And it's weirdly... it's PS4 and PC with no Xbox One.
Is that weird? Bizarre.
Isn't that a bit weird?
Mm.
If anything ever gets left out, ordinarily it's PC. But bizarrely, this is PC and PlayStation 4. I don't know why it's not coming out on Xbox One, or maybe it's just not immediately. But so at least people with PCs that aren't my PC get to play it. So, cool. All right, that looks really good. And we've got past Squee Factor 5 without too many people getting killed. So I think we're quite happy.
Well
about
done, everybody.
That. Thank you. Well done. Everybody give yourself a little pat on the back. Right, last game. We need to get moving. The last game that I want to talk about, or we want to talk about very quickly, is Spider-Man.
The game that no one asked for.
Excellent. Can we move on?
No, not really. That's a bit unfair. There's a lot of people that are very excited about this. I'm not, but I'm speaking for the masses I've heard.
Can we still move on?
But that isn't what I said. I said that no one asked for it. Just because it's been released, that means that everyone's very excited about it.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's going
to
be released.
Is this... Right, now, this isn't based on the movies, no?
No.
This is just a Spider-Man,
a standalone Spider-Man game.
Right, okay, fine. It looks like he's wearing a backpack, which is a little bit weird. I can't remember a Spider-Man game that I actually enjoyed.
Oh, Spider-Man 2,
nope.
Is it? 2? On the PlayStation 2? Was excellent.
Nope.
Did anyone play the cartoon comic book style one? I can't remember which one that was.
Oh, the cel shaded one.
Yeah.
I did play that actually.
I quite enjoyed that one.
Oh, that wasn't terrible.
Like,
yeah, all right, I'll give you that.
Funny.
I can't remember what it was called though. It was all right. But Spider-Man game. Yeah. Spider-Man's cool, but in my opinion, they've never managed to make him cool in a game.
To be honest, I've got absolutely no interest in Spider-Man.
Really?
Oh, I quite like Spider-Man.
He just doesn't. I like Spider-Man. And I like the characters that are in Spider-Man as well, but they just make a shit shower of it every time. It turns into too much of a kid's comic book whenever they try and do anything with it. And I include movies in that. So, yeah, I'm interested in that. But I'm interested in the next Spider-Man movie, the actual Marvel movie. So, never know. Never know. Other than that, interested at all?
If Mysterio is in it, I'll buy it. Like, hands down, I will buy any game for, like, just a moment of Mysterio madness.
Well, there you go. In fact, there's not much been released about it, so if you want at least one sale, that's the way to go.
Yeah. Green Goblin and Mr. Negative, apparently, are the only ones
right,
in the trailer.
Green Goblin's bollocks, and I have absolutely no idea who Mr. Negative is, but he sounds really, really... not very positive.
It's all right, I can cut that out.
That's a dad joke. Wait, what?
Put a bleep
right,
over
look,
it.
We're done. We're fucking like 28 hours into this podcast now, so we're really going to have to call it a day. Before we finish on the great big, massive, stupidly long E3 second episode, has anybody got anything else about E3 that they would like to talk about or mention very briefly?
I'm out.
Excellent. I'm going to take that silence as we're all fucking done.
No. I mean, there are a couple of things that we haven't mentioned. So, obviously, the Zelda, the Breath of Fire from the Nintendo conference.
Good point.
Ooh, yes.
This is a very good point.
However, I've got zero interest in Zelda. And
I've
they
got
spent probably 2 hours talking about Zelda.
Yeah. See, I've got really good interest in Zelda, actually, but they've got a tried and true history of not bringing Zelda games out on the PC, so fuck them. Right, okay, look, that's it. We're going to stop talking about E3 now. This has been really long, so we're going to cut it right off. There's nothing else to talk about. Would everybody very briefly like to say where people can find them on Tinternets, and then we will sign the fuck off. Lewis, where can people find you?
At Louis_Kong on Twitter.
Thank you. Lee, where can people find you?
At ZZLeeZZ on Twitter.
And L, where can people find you?
At Escaping IRL.
And you can find me at Zebwen, that's ZEBWN. You can find all of us and our posty posties on Twitter at ReadyP2. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/ReadyPlayer2. You can find our webby site on ReadyPlayer2, that's TWO.co.uk. You can find us on Acast. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on thepalaceofwisdom.co.uk. I think that's pretty much everywhere that you can find us.
No.
No, where else can we find us?
And in the cupboard.
No, we're not in the cupboard.
Dark.
No.
Just where
Elle
lives.
Just Elle in the, it's just it's just Elle in the cupboard with photos of Norman Reedus. And a torch. And that weird light gun from the PlayStation game. Right, okay, look, I think that's an appropriate time to stop. Thank you everybody for listening. Hopefully this is going to chop down to a reasonably length episode, but we've all had enough now, so we're going to sign off. This is Ready Player 2 out for Ready Player 2 episode 65. Are we on 65?
65.
Yep.
Woo! Goodbye, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Bye!
Everybody are here. Yay!
What?
Also, my Chinese pop filter's here.
Yay!
Actually, my Chinese pop filter was here before the last podcast, but Hannah didn't tell me.
Yay!
I win!
Not sleepy, excited and ebullient.
God, I'm so full of energy. Maybe chewing gums will help. Hang on. No.
It's a laxative, that is.
No, that's a bad idea, because then I'll be chewing, and that's disgusting. No one wants to listen to chewing. Oh, no! This is what I wanted to avoid. That's why I didn't go get the chewing gum.
The dentist's really good. He's really, like, he's fine. He's very tentative, you know, being very careful, make sure not to cause you any pain. And she's there making your deep throat fucking Dyson.
Like you didn't enjoy that.
It was all right. By the way, what I just said does not need to find its way into the outtakes. Just saying.
I'll keep that for my personal collection.
Right, nobody's reading all of this now.
Oh, why not?
I like the picture.
Because we don't have time.
It'll get us in the mood.
No, it's a time issue. Limited by time.
Oh, I'll read it out then.
No, we're not doing that either. Good grief. What, like some kind of weird porn reading on the internet? No, we're not doing that either. 3, 2, 1. Oh, I think we might be dangerously in time.
That was startling.
Was that wearing you out a little bit?
No, I didn't know what you were going to do because we didn't confirm if it was the clap. So I thought we were going to do something different, and I would be the only one
that
clapped.
Your hands were in your pockets, and you had like thrashed them out quickly. Or
just panic and clap.
Yeah, clap. Do we need to do it again?
Oh, we've lost her already.
We've already done the clap.
I'm just going to sit there and go...
Yeah, what are we going to do? I just have interest. What were the alternatives that ran through your mind?
I don't
actually,
even know.
Next time, you're not going to get a 3-2-1. We're just going to go clap.
We're just going to clap.
I'm done. Oh, my God.
Right, so at least 15 minutes of the next outtakes are going to just be Elle laughing. Right.
Let's just start with her laughing in the background.
Yeah, okay. No. And then she goes quiet suddenly. I love it. It was like panic silence.
I'm shaking.
No, it's not the end. It's not. Stop doing it.
It was my turn. Everybody else had a go.
So they moved on to Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Which is way more in keeping with people being shot.
I will cut that out. That is going.
Do you know what? I thought the aeroplane was flying in a good direction then. No, no,
gone,
Captain Rich just took it into a nosedive.
The boat was in troubled waters. We brought it out and then he torpedoed it.
Lee, you expressed a little bit of interest in The Division, didn't you?
No.
El, you expressed a little bit... Interestingly, it says that at the beginning of Hitler's diary as well.
Right, shall we move on?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that thing.
How but did we go from such a nice game?
Stop me if I'm wrong, right? But
you're
this
wrong.
Isn't
I'll stop okay. you. Stop. You're wrong. Yeah.
This has been a very short podcast.
Just leave it there.
Is that what I was talking about earlier, Elle?
Yeah, sorry, I was on mute and being like, it's Artemis! It's Artemis! And I was like, why can no one hear me? It's those moments when you mute yourself and you're just like, why did I do that? Why did I do that thing? Also, if this gets into the outtakes, my favourite thing off of the things my girlfriend and I have argued about is the way one should cut a kiwi fruit in half. What the fuck is wrong in your life that you're going to argue about how to cut a kiwi? That's negativity that you don't need in your life. Relationship tips here.
We haven't got any soap in the bathroom for me to wash my hands with, so I just went up to the toilet and went to wash my hands. And the only stuff we've got is this, like, kids' Peppa Pig, like, spray soap stuff. Basically, it's like shaming foam. Anyway,
right.
Long story short, I wasn't paying attention. I just put foam in my mouth. Because I had the nozzle pointed the wrong way.
How the fuck did you manage this?
I lifted it up because I was trying to work out what I was supposed to do. I had my hand on the other side of it and it just sprayed straight into my mouth. So, yeah. Let's not tell anybody about that. Be right back.
Rich ate soap.
Shoe beast. Beast. Beast.
Right, we're back. And for the first time in the last few games, we're going to talk about... Actually, we're not back because we never went anywhere. Right then, the next game.
Moving on.
Fuck Final Fantasy. I think the world might end if I like a COD game.
Okay, right. From that to what I'm fully expecting to be.
I think we should leave it there.
Five.
Now,
I will end you.
We're clearly into Squee Factor 5 now.
But I'm so fucking excited. Blows my motherfucking mind. Gather to me, children of darkness.
Oh, shut your face.
Which I guess is a good thing.
Oh my God.